Inanna the Priestess, Part 1, from the book The Return of the Sexual Priestess by Jennifer Posada. You can find out more and hear the rest of this story at jenniferposada.com/Inanna. My name is Inanna, and I come from the Valley of Nu. I was born when the spring blossoms flush the trees and the light returns to the sky. I knew my name before my parents did. It was a sound on the wind I recognized. I remember hearing it while looking at clouds as a baby. My parents didn't want a girl. They were sorely disappointed that I would not advance the family in the ways a boy might have. But they saw a glimmer of hope when I showed the sign, and earlier than most ever do. They knew that at least that meant I could be a priestess and might offer some prestige to the family in that way. It would be minor, but they felt it was some redemption. They would never understand the power of my being female, but in hopes it would highlight my possible future path, they named me Inanna. It was an apt name for a child who formed the purple mark between my brows while just months old. It stayed for several years. It showed that I was different somehow, and some who regarded the old ways saw it as a special blessing, a mark of great sacredness. Others laughed or made fun of what was the sign of a religion that had been challenged by new ways. A male god was rising. But at the time of my birth, the goddess still held the supreme place in many people's hearts. I would watch her glory crumble in my lifetime. But first, I would plant a seed that helped ensure that she would never be forgotten, and that while she might go underground like the life force of nature during the winter, she would stir when the time was right and return to the hearts of those who wished to heal, who wished to return to an earth of love and peace. One day, she would come back like the blossoms in the season of my birth. She would emerge when we believed no other thing would grow. Long, long after my life as Inanna the Priestess, on the cusp of a new era, an era of darkness, but a necessary darkness. A darkness that harbored gifts, if we could safely shuttle them across the pitch black sea of forgetting. I didn't know of these aspects of my destiny when I was a child, yet. But I learned many things from the plants, the rivers, and the animals. I was given special tutelage to prepare me for priestesshood and the life of the temple, but those teachings felt dry like bone. Nature's teachings rushed like blood, the blood that feeds the bone. I learned quickly that my teachers knew nothing of this and wanted to hear nothing about my other learning, my remembering. They asked me to remember other people's versions of nature, diluted and weak. For years, when I had finished my chores and tutelage, I went to the river to learn in the reeds. I knew my family in that life was not truly my family, and I went to nature to commune with my people in the dirt and the stones, in the trees and among the birds. They were inside of me too, but the actual physical nature around me was the sparkle in my eye, my wisdom, my power, my body. I learned to keep it a secret. My parents tried to send me to the temple before my time, but they would not accept me, despite my early marking, until the agreed-upon age, 14. The last couple of years at home became hard. My parents were anxious to see me go, and had become aware that I might not be the idealized priestess they hoped for. Even while holding back my inner knowing, I was clearly not going to attempt to follow the rules in the ways the more revered priestesses did. One had come to our town to offer blessings at our local temple, and I excitedly hoped I would finally find someone who understood my inner language. But there was an undeniable emptiness there that no one else could see but me. I went to receive her blessing, but it fell like water through a sieve, and she did not know the golden light of the reeds or the fire of the ancients like a glow in her belly and heart. Am I alone in this world, but for the reeds and the birds? But for the trees and the rivers and the fruit on the vine? Who else sees what I see and hears what I hear? I dreamt that one day, when I was sent to the temple in the city of Muru, among the priestesses there, I would find others. I would leave the bitter hearts of my parents, shells left empty by tragedies before their time, no fault of their own, and find the others. I felt that they must be out there, the others like me.